ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयम्भूपकृतामायं ददाति सपदन्तिकम् पञ्चकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदेवगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, excuse me, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Super busy Raghunath's group of 31 people have just left. Other groups are here. One person from our ashram in Colombia is coming for 10 days, just arrived 2 days ago. Other people are coming from Russia, I know, for 3 weeks. And it's just other people coming. And we have a team here to facilitate them and try to give them the correct spiritual impression. And it's working. You know, Vrindavan is such a powerful inspiration for devotion that if people come in the right way, something in their mind opens that allows that experience to touch the soul. And their lives become changed. But it's nonstop. It's nonstop. And I also are giving, because there's different people here, I'm also giving 2 classes a day. But we'll read. So, as you remember, this logician comes to Krishna consciousness, gets initiated. His name is Rajanath. And intelligently, he's inquiring about the different tattvas or truths of Krishna consciousness. And it's been a long discussion of jiva tattva. The origin of the jiva, the origin of jiva coming to the world, how he becomes bound. Then there was a discussion of the different levels of consciousness, 5 levels of consciousness of a jiva. One is covered, like trees. One is contracted, like animals. Then one is budding. And that's the immoral and moral atheists. Then there's one that's an awakening. That was the moral theists and the practitioners of bhakti. And then there was perfected consciousness, which was the prema bhaktis. Those have love of Godhead. Now this is all couched within a story, and Rajanath is facing a crisis because his family is pressuring him to get married. And internally he feels that he's suited for renunciation. And one will only be happy in Krishna consciousness if one is situated properly. A person who should be married and is a brahmachari will be disturbed. A brahmachari should be married will be disturbed. A person who is entering marriage but actually is too renounced, he'll be disturbed. So one has to be situated properly, and it's a big, big decision in one's life. And we see, just practically, when people are not situated properly, their minds are disturbed. And that's the first principle, practically, of practicing any type of yoga, is that one should be situated properly, socially and economically. And therefore, a lot of the scriptures describe how one should be situated properly in vana and ashram. So he has a wicked cousin, and we're up to that. His wicked cousin tells his grandmother, who's pressuring him, that he will rectify all this. And he pretends. He's an evil person, but he tends to be on Vrajanath's side. And Vrajanatha's weakness and his strength is that he's trusting. Being vulnerable is a strength when you're among trusting people, and a weakness when you're among people that are not trustworthy. Sometimes people don't make those distinctions. So Vrajanath explains to his cousin, this is after law, there's one elderly and experienced Babaji called Raghunath Das Babaji in Mayapur. He is my instructor, and I go every day after dusk to the shelter of his feet to find relief from the burning fire of this material world. Is very merciful to me. Now the evil cousin named Vaini Madhava started thinking, now I understand Brother Raj's weakness. He has to be brought back to the right trap by deception, force, or skill. Outwardly said, Brother, don't worry. I'm going home now, but I will gradually change grandmother's mind. Vainamadava pretended to take the road that led to his home, but instead he took another way and reached Srivas Angam in Mayapur. And that's where this Raghunath Das Babaji lives and where Vrajanath is getting his spiritual strength from. There he sat on the raised platform under the Bakul tree and began to admire the opulences of the Vaishnavas. These Vaishnavas are actually enjoying the world. They have such beautiful houses and lovely kunjas. This is such a nice dais and a wonderful courtyard. In each of the kutirs, a Vaishnav sat chanting Harinam on his beads. They seemed quite content, like the bulls of religion. The women of the neighboring villages who came to bathe in the Ganga of their own accord supplied the Vaishnavas with fruits, vegetables, water, and various eatables. Vaini Madhava thought, quote, the brahmanas have systemized karmakanda to receive these facilities, but instead, these groups of babajis are enjoying the cream. All glories to Kali Yuga. These disciples of Kali are having such a wonderful time. Oh, my birth in a high brahmin family is useless. No one even cares about us anymore. What to speak of offering us fruits and water? These Vaishnavas even condemn learned Brahmins and abuse and insult us by calling us lowly and foolish. My brother, Vraja, fits this description quite well, though. Although he's such a well-educated man, he seems to have sold himself to these sly, loincloth people. I, Vainu Madhava, will reform Vrajanath and these Babajis as well. Thinking like this, Vaini Madhava entered one of the kutirs, which happened to be the one in which Sri Raghunath Das Babaji was sitting on a mat made of banana leaves chanting his Hari Nam. A person's character is evidenced from his face, and the aging Babaji could understand that Kali personified it entered in the form of the son of a Brahmin. And the face is the index of the mind. Vaishnavas consider themselves lower than a blade of grass. They offer respects to those who insult them, and they pray for the well-being of an opponent, even if he tortures him. It's a nice comment about Vaishnava. You know, he so prominently sees God and sees God everywhere. And that highlights his, and we discussed this before, this highlights his relative insignificance. But because he values service, he feels self-worth. You may be the servant of a very great man, so you don't feel yourself very special, but you have self-esteem because you value what you are doing. It's not codependence where you derive your worth from the greatness of another person, but you derive your worth from the service of another person. So Vaishnava is very, very humble and is in a certain bhav or mood. And in that bhava mood, even if someone insults them, because they don't have the conception of ego, they can offer respects. They'll see another person as part of God. And if someone is so devious to abuse them, they have compassion and they pray for their well-being because their value system is service, not power. So if someone has power over them and is mistreating them, they'll see how unfortunate that person lacks the mood of service, and they'll pray for them. Accordingly, Babaji Maharaj respectfully offered Veni Madhava a seat. Veni Madhava had no Vaishnava qualities at all, so after sitting down, he offered his blessings to Babaji Maharaj, considering himself above Vaishnava etiquette. So he was thinking, I'm a Brahmin, and by my birth, my position, I'm respectable. And this is one of the weakest, this is one of the greatest weaknesses in spiritual life, that you value allegiance over substance. I'm great because I belong to something great, not I'm great because I actually have substance. So naturally, people who are not enlightened and born in families of Brahmins, which traditionally that class of people were quite elevated, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brasya Bajayate, people who are very elevated but don't complete their perfection get to be born Suchinam in Brahmin families. Baba, what is your name? What brings you here? Babaji Maharaj what brings you here? Inquired Babaji Mahasai informally. Veni Madhava became furious by being addressed informally, and he said angrily, "Oh, Babaji, can you become equal to a Brahmin just by wearing a kopan, a loincloth? Never mind, just tell me. Do you know Vajranath Nyaya Panchanana? Babaji, understanding the reason for his annoyance. "Please excuse this old man. Don't become offended by my words. Yet, yes, Rajanath comes here sometimes by his own mercy. Veni Madhava. Don't think that he's a simpleton. He comes here with ulterior motives. He's being polite at first to gain your confidence. This is Veni Madhava's plan. He's going to misrepresent Rajanath as someone who's very devious to his guru. And hopefully that his guru will reject him. Sometimes it's easy to get an old man's ear." This phrase goes, getting someone's ear, getting him to listen. "The Brahmins at Belpakur are extremely annoyed at your behavior, and they've consulted with each other and decided to send Rajanath to you. You're an old man, just be careful. I will come to, from time to time to inform you about how their conspiracy progresses. Don't tell them about me, otherwise you'll run into deeper trouble. I will take leave today." So saying, Veni Madhava got up and returned to his home. Later that afternoon, while Rajanath sat on the veranda, after his meal, Veni Madhava suddenly appeared as if from nowhere, sat next to him, and struck up a conversation. "Brother, I went to Mayapur for some business today," he began. "There I saw an old man, maybe Raghunath Das Babaji. We were talking about things in general, and then the conversation turned to you. The things he said about you, I've never heard such repulsive things being spoken by any Brahmin. In the end, he said, I will bring him down from his high Brahminical status by feeding him leftovers from many low-caste people. Fie on him. It's not proper for such a learned man like you to associate with such a person. You will ruin the high prestige of the Brahmanas if you act like this." Rajanath was astounded to hear Veni Madhava say all this. For some unknown reason, his faith and respect for the Vaishnavas and old Babaji Maharaj only doubled. And he said gravely, "Brother, I am busy at present. You go now, I will hear everything from you tomorrow, and I'll make a decision then." So if someone wins your faith, and someone criticizes him, you'll only think more of the reality of your relationship with the person and the benefit you got in that relationship. So it's not really... It says it's astounding, but there's a reason why the faith and respect will increase. Veni Madhava went away. Rajanath now became fully aware of Veni Madhava's two-tongued nature. He was well-versed in the Naya Shastra, and although he had a natural dislike for wickedness, the thought that Veni Madhava would help him on the path to sannyas had induced Rajanath to be friendly to him. So Rajanath was, you know, wanted to take sannyas, and he saw his cousin was going to help, and it made him sympathetic to him. But now, however, he understood that all Veni Madhava's sweet words had been for a particular motive. After further thought, Rajanath realized that Veni Madhava was acting deceitfully because he was involved in the marriage proposal. That must be why he had gone to Mayapur, to sow the seeds of secret plot. He prayed in his mind, "Oh, Bhagavan, let my faith in the lotus feet of my guru and the Vaishnavas remain firm. May it never be reduced by the disturbance of such impure people." He remained absorbed in these thoughts until evening. Then he started out for Srivas Angam, arriving deep in anxiety back in Mayapur after Vaini Madhava left. Babaji thought, this man is certainly a Brahmin Rakshasa. And then he quoted. So the Babaji, whose mind he tried to pollute about Vrajanath, when this evil man left, he thought that this is, now I've seen what a Brahmin Rakshasa is. And then he quote, Rakshasa, Kalim Ashritya, Jayante Brahma Yonishu, taking shelter of Kali Yuga, Rakshasas take birth in Brahmin family. And you actually see this, that some of the most deceitful and corrupt people in Kali Yuga are from Brahmin families. This statement of Shastra certainly is true for that person. His face clearly shows his pride and his high caste, his false ego, his envy of the Vaishnavas, and his religious hypocrisy. His short neck, eyes, and his deceptive way of talking actually represent his internal state of mind. This man is a complete asura by nature. Whereas Vrajanath is such a sweet-natured person. Oh, Krishna, oh, Gauranga, never give me association of such a person. I must warn Vrajanath today. As soon as Vrajanath reached the kutir, Babaji called out to him affectionately, come, Baba, come, and embraced him. Vrajanath's throat choked with emotion, and tears started flowing from his eyes as he fell down at Babaji's feet. Babaji picked him up and very affectionately and said gently, a black complexion Brahmin came here this morning. He said some agitating things and then went away again. Do you know him? Vrajanath, Prabhu, your good self told me earlier that there are different kinds of jivas in the world. Some of them are so envious that without any cause, they find satisfaction in troubling other jivas. Our brother Vaini Madhava is one of the leaders in such a category. I will be glad if we don't discuss him further. It is very nature to criticize you to me and me to you, and to cause disputes between us by manufacturing false accusations. I hope you didn't pay any attention to what he said. Babaji, ha, Krishna, ha, Gauranga! I've been serving the Vaishnavas for many days, and by their mercy, I've received the power to tell the difference between a Vaishnava and a non-Vaishnava. You don't need to say anything to me about this, Vrajanath. Please forget all this and tell me, how can a jiva be free from the clutches of Maya? Babaji, you will get your answer in the seventh shloka of the Dashamula. Yada Brahman Brahman Hari Rasa Galad Vaishnava Jananti Kadachit Sampasyam Tanugagame Syaduchi Yata Tata Krishna Vritya Sajati Shanakai Mayaka Dasam Sarupam Vibrano Vimalarasa Bogam Sukurate Dashamula 7. When in the course of wandering amongst the higher and lower species in the material world, a jiva is able to behold a Vaishnava absorbed in the flowing rasa of Sri Hari Bhakti, taste arises in his heart for following the Vaishnava way of life. By chanting Sri Krishna Nam, He gradually becomes free from his conditioning. Step by step, he then gains his intrinsic Chinmaya Sarup, transcendental form, and becomes qualified to taste the pure and spiritual rasa of direct service to Sri Krishna. I would like to hear some evidence from the Vedas to verify this. Babaji, it is said in the Upanishads, Samane Vrikshe Purusho Namagno Nishaya Sochiti Muyamana Jishtam Yada Pashyatyanyavisham Asya Mahimanam Itavita Shok. Mundaka Upanishads 3.1.2 and Svetashvatara Upanishads. The jiva and the indwelling paramatma reside in the body, like two birds in the same tree. The jiva is sunk in the bodily conception of life because of his attachment to material sense enjoyment. Bewildered by maya, he cannot find any means of deliverance, and thus he laments and falls down. When the jiva has darshan of the other person within his heart, namely the Supreme Lord, who is served eternally by his unalloyed bhaktas, he witnesses Krishna's uncommon glories. He then becomes free from all lamentation and attains his glorious position as Krishna's servant. So this is abhideya tattva, the means of deliverance. It appears that way. And the means of deliverance is to reverse the cause of bondage. And the cause of bondage is turning away from God. And the cause of liberation is turning towards God. So God is sitting within our hearts, and we're sunk in the bodily conception of life, absorbed in sense gratification. And when we turn to him, we become liberated. And turning to God means worship. Vrajanath, the shloka states that when the jiva sees the worshipable Lord, he becomes free forever from all anxieties and directly perceives his magnificence. Does this imply liberation? Babaji, liberation means to be released from the clutches of maya. Only those who have the association of saintly people attain this liberation. But the real subject of research is the glorious position that one receives after attaining liberation. So it's not just liberation, but it's what you attain after liberation. Liberation means just becoming free from the bonds of material nature. But the real liberation is what happens after you break the chains of material existence. And then this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's the 10th subject matter. Muktir hitvan yata rupam Sarupena Vivastita, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. The jiva in his original constitutional form is a pure servant of Krishna. When he falls into the darkness of nescience, he has to accept gross and subtle material bodies. Liberation means to abandon these extreme forms completely and to be situated in one's original spiritual sarup. This half shloka explains that liberation means to abandon these other forms to be situated in one's sarup. Attaining one's constitutional position is the necessity for the jiva. The work of liberation is complete the moment the jiva is released from clutches of maya. Then so many activities begin once he attains his natural constitutional position. This is the fundamental necessity of attainment, mula prayojana of the jiva. Freedom from intense misery can be called liberation. But following liberation, there is another stage which a person achieves spiritual happiness, chitsukha. This stage is described in the Chandogya Upanishads 8.12.3. Evam evaisha samprasado smach sarirat samuttaya param jyoti rupa sampadya svena rupa rupe na vinishpadyate sa uttama purusha sa tattva parayeti Chakshan Kridan Ramamana. When the jiva achieves liberation, he transcends the gross and subtle material bodies and is situated in his own non-material spiritual effulgence. He then becomes transcendentally situated. In that spiritual atmosphere, he becomes absorbed in enjoyment, bhoga, activities, kriya, and bliss, ananda. So liberation also means enjoyment, also means activity, and also means bliss. It doesn't just mean the negation of activities, enjoyment, and bliss. But the activities, the enjoyment, and bliss are a relationship to the nature of the soul, which is consciousness and achieves its fruition in love. Babaji, they have eight symptoms which Chandogya Upanishads 8.7.1 describes as follows. The Atma Pahata Pahatma Vichara Vimrityo Vishoka Vijinkato Vipasa Satya Kama Satya Sankalpa So Vaishtavya. The liberated soul has eight qualities. He is freed from all sinful activities, as well as the addiction to sinful activities that arises because of the nations of Maya. He is not subject to the miseries of old age. He always remains young and fresh and has no tendency to decay. This is our spiritual position. He never comes to an end or dies. He never is morose. He has no sensual desires. He has a natural inclination towards serving Krishna with no other desires. And all of his desires become realized. These eight qualities are absent from the Buddha Jeev, or the conditioned soul. Prajanath, it is said in the Dhashamula Shloka, the good fortune of the Jeeva who is wandering aimlessly in the material world arises when he meets a Rasik Vaishnav who relishes the nectar of Hari. One may raise the objection that one could eventually attain Hari Bhakti by performing pious activities such as Ashtanga Yoga and cultivating Brahmagyan. Babaji, these are Krishna's own words. Narodiyati Bham Yoga The Sankhyam Dharma Evacha, the Swadhyayas, the Pastyago, Neshta Purtam Nadakshina, Pratam Yagyash Chandamshi, Titani Niryamayama, Yatavarunde Shatshanga, Sharva Shanga Paho Imam, Bhagavatam 11.21.2. Bhagavan, Sri Bhagavan said, I am not controlled by those who perform yoga, study Sankhya philosophy, perform religious duties and pious activities, study the Vedas, perform penances and austerities, practice renunciation or accept sannyas, perform sacrifice and welfare activities, give donations in charity, practice fasting and other vows, perform yajna, chant confidential mantras, go on pilgrimage, and follow all the rules and regulations for spiritual life. However, one who accepts satsang, which destroys all material attachments, can control me. How much can I say? Astanga yoga can satisfy me indirectly, but Sadhusanga controls me completely. It is also said in Hari Bhakta Shodhaya 851, Yasya Yat Sangati Pumso Mani Vat Shat Satad Gune Sukula Dhatito Dhiman Swayutta Yeva Shamshaye. Just as a jewel or crystal reflects the color of the object with which it is in contact, so a person develops qualities according to the company he keeps. Therefore, by keeping association with pure sadhus, one can become a pure sadhu. Thus, the association of a pure sadhu is the root cause of all good fortune. In the Shastras, the word nishanga means to live in solitude. This implies we should only live in the association of bhaktas. Nishanga means to leave all other association and take the association of bhaktas. Even an intentional association with saintly persons brings good fortune. Sangoyang samstratir hetur asatsu vyato dhiha saeva sadhu shu krito Nishanga Bhaya Kalpate, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:23-55. The association of materialists is the cause of bondage in the material world, even though one may not know this is so. Similarly, association with saintly persons, even by chance or unknowingly, is called Nishanga. So I have other duties, classes, etc. I can't speak that much longer. I usually speak at least 20 minutes longer. But if anybody has one question, otherwise we can just say hello and then end. Would anyone like to ask any question? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Prajarade.
Rajarade, thank you very much for listening. We will get into deeper and deeper subjects in Jaipur Dharma. I'm sure you'll appreciate. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Okay. Hi, Bo, Gail. Thank you.
Thank you. Also.
Anybody else? Anybody else say hello today?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gordon Bhaktadas.
Okay, good. Keep on studying this. All the tattvas of Krishna consciousness will be explained. Good. Anybody else? Okay, then we'll end here for today. Bunch of couple, three pieces.